All right, let's go. We're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN. Happy hump day to you, second day of July. Don't have John here. He's off on the National Lampoon's 4th of July vacation. Maybe a movie coming out about it. We don't know if John took the cameras. Nah, family, they started their 4th of July and John's birthday celebration a little early. They're going to be headed up to D.C. We're allowing him to do that, and we're cruising right on. Cruising all around 240, talking about Memphis sports. I'm doing it with my man Brad Carson on the ones and twos, executive producer extraordinaire, also the boss around here, program director, number one in the country, and number one in your hearts. Got a son named Jake, baseball stud.
You are the best hype man on the planet, dude.
You want a stud? Sign him up. Memphis, where you at? Where you at, U of M?
They were at the game this weekend, by the way. There's a couple of players that they were looking at on his team. Matt, if you're listening, make some offers to those guys. Make some offers.
Make an offer to Jake.
No, there's some better quality
on
that team.
Okay, well, maybe he needs to make multiple offers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, make multiple offers would be good.
Our man Jake striking out Division I signees. That's what I saw from the weekend. This is coming off of injury, coming off of a thumb injury. We're back. We're excited.
Good to see you, brother.
We're with a father of a real prospect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk about another father of a real prospect a little bit later on. I'm the father of just a little kid that wants to have some fun.
My guy is hanging out with Penny Hardaway in the summertime.
And I'll tell you what, just when we were all feeling good, right, about what the Grizzlies had done in free agency, what our kids are doing off in their youth sports, just when we were feeling good, got that good old Grizzlies injury update email to ruin
what?
It all, didn't we?
What?
Didn't we?
What is going on? What is going on?
Last night, the Memphis Grizzlies today provided the following medical update. Tired of this stuff.
It's Rudy Pudi, bud.
And, of course, it was Jaren Jackson Jr. who just signed a lucrative contract.
Yep.
Of course, he has to have surgery. What else did you expect? Perp toe. Got to have surgery. No timetable. Could miss beginning of season.
If you stub your toe, why do you need surgery on that?
There's some bad turf toes out there, Brad, I'll have you know. Now, it happens a lot in the NFL.
Yes, I've heard.
It does happen in the NBA. Do you know about Darius Garland? Because if you didn't, you're going to get schooled on it. Darius Garland, a very serious turf toe injury.
He did.
Now, let me tell you this. If you've got to have surgery on turf toe, I mean, it's pretty bad, right? It's probably the worst form of turf toe. Thing might be black.
It could be really, really hurt.
Looking like gangrene.
Yeah, like inflamed, bruised, damaged, must need repair.
Did this in a game, in a little bit of a workout or whatever, like kind of like Zach Edey. Hurting it. So this comes on the heels of the Zach Edey injury news, which we got last month. We know possible, likely that he's going to miss the start of the season. Is this going to mean you got two starters out for the start of the season? We'll discuss. I just know we do this too often when it comes to responding to these. And Lord knows with the history with the Grizzlies with the injuries, maybe it's best if we expect the worst. And maybe the worst is just missing the first part of the season. That said, could be two starters that you're down, like we talked about. And for Tuomas Iisalo, who's looking to get off to a much better start and have a better handle on things as he starts his first full season, that sucks. Let's be real, to have those two guys out, especially with what they do and what they're expected to do on both ends for this team. And so that news we will discuss today. We talked yesterday about the Grizzlies having the 10th best odds to win the West per FanDuel following that first day of free agency and everything else. And other sports books even lower on the Grizzlies' chances of contending in the West this year. We'll talk about that. Nuggets made another good move, as far as I'm concerned, getting Tim Hardaway Jr., another shooter. They also got Jonas Valanciunas. That happened yesterday. I know some of the shows got a chance to talk about that. We did not, but a chance for Jonas to back up Jokic. They've added depth, just like Jokic said they needed to do. And after losing a 7-game series in the conference semis to OKC, they're looking like a contender again. Red Panda went down last night. I don't know if you saw it.
I didn't see this.
We're going to talk about it. She went down.
You know, you should ask Rob about it because he's got a selfie with Red Panda from the season on
World
his timeline.
World famous Red Panda. Rob knows her well. We'll
knows
talk
well.
To him at 11:25 about it. But she went down last night in the WNBA showcase deal.
Oh, no.
Did you not see that at
She's
halftime?
Getting up there. I've always worried about her.
You just said a key phrase. She's getting up there.
I saw her at the playoff game. It was the
Now, you're not talking about the 7-foot unicycle. You're talking about her actual age, aren't you? When you say she's getting up there, you're talking about her age, aren't you?
Miss Panda? Red Panda?
Yeah.
Now, I didn't get the zoom in on her, but I don't know how old she is. I haven't looked up her Wikipedia page. But
well,
like,
here's the thing. We don't know.
You shouldn't be on a damn unicycle at like 65 years old and throwing plates up.
Who is the show?
Oh,
more than anybody else.
We school you every time on this stuff.
That correlates that age with job performance and says it might be time to go. Whose ballpark is that, Brad? That's what we do.
I'm going to say this about you, Jason Smith. You have become the purveyor and the ruler.
Lawler, stop wrestling.
When it comes to our guy on game day.
Corso, time to hang it up, and it is. This will be the last year, as we know.
We need to start a Jason Smith website that makes rulings on these.
Well, will Red Panda make the list after last night? If you have not seen The Fall, you need to.
I got to go watch.
She basically caught that cord with her face. How many more of these can she take?
Did they give her a different plate? Like, were the plates off? Was there something amiss?
Bro, I don't know. I don't know if the cycle wasn't tuned up the way it usually is. If a spoke in that thing had come loose, it's not funny. It's
somebody
not funny.
Put some oil, forgot the
because
oil?
Because she went down and she had to go to the hospital.
I'm not laughing
You're,
at
yes,
her.
Yes, you are.
I'm not laughing at her. I'm laughing at the situation about you ruling on these elderly people.
That's my job. I kind of come like the hatchet man.
You are the Grim Reaper.
Well, I've been sniffing around this one. And we had
got
some
the research.
I had already been sniffing around, and we had this incident last night. We're going to talk about that. We're
That's what
have
I'm
to.
Laughing about.
Also, I can tell you, I can get Brad to stop laughing real quick. Y'all want to see this experiment?
Yeah.
Cardinals shut out for a second straight day by the Buccos?
Do we really need to talk about this?
I'm just saying, if I got to stop Brad from laughing, if I got to get him to get real serious, I can just bring that up. It's two straight to the Pirates. My goodness. Brad maybe later will explain to me what's happening with the Cardinals right now.
I don't
you know.
You
know, I just like to jab when my Cubbies are winning. That said, it's not a huge lead we have over you and the Brewers. A lot to do today. We're in a good mood, as you can see. It's going to be a very serious show, though, because we've got three big-time guests, 11:30 or so, we'll talk to, as Brad mentioned, FanDuel Sports Network Grizzlies pre- and post-game show host and sideline reporter Rob Fisher.
Hey.
It's a long title, but I got on through it, baby, and I did it smoothly. Can't wait to get Rob on to talk about free agency, what the Grizzlies have done, this new development, obviously, with Jaren Jackson Jr., where perhaps you don't have him now with the turf toe injury and surgery. You don't have him like you won't have Zach Edey to start the year. We'll see. I mean, just how much does that set Isolo back? We'll see what Rob thinks. Cedric Coward, we'll talk to him about that draft pick and how high Rob might be on him. Do all that with Rob around 11:30 or so. Can't wait to do that at noon. We'll do the rundown like usual. Found out one of the four remaining games, I think it was, for the Tigers non-conference basketball schedule yesterday. Get a chance to weigh in on that and much more.
Oh, yeah.
About 12:30 p.m., a very important interview that I'm hoping is going to be here in studio. Carl Davis is the managing director of operations at Memphis Allies. They are a nonprofit organization that is, as I told Brad, right on the front lines of the city's battle versus gun violence. And we've seen that. We saw it as recently as Sunday over at Memphis Rocks, where a 25-year-old young man was killed, murdered. Two men murdered over there. Obviously, the tragic loss, another gun violence incident in our city. I saw where the police chief, C.J. Davis, was out yesterday saying and talking about how crime is down. And we do know that. We've talked about it in the wake of the Stephen A. saying, you know, talking about where Memphis stands in terms of it's the perception of it among NBA players as a crime-ridden city, where C.J. Davis came out and said crime's down 20%. And so are gun incidents. That said, clearly we still have issues. We're going to bring on Carl Davis to talk about it, because when I say he's on the front lines, he really is. They had a situation, a scary deal. I mean, just a tragic situation of their own, Memphis Allies, last month. We'll talk about that and how this battle's continuing every day. It kind of turns up in the summertime. We know around Memphis in terms of incidents, guns, murders with guns, those things turn up. And so does Carl Davis's work. I'm looking forward to talking with him. Listen to this stat. But most of the folks that they deal with, that get involved in their program are gang members, hopefully former gang members, but gang members at the time that they enter. 91 of their participants have not picked up a new gun charge. Once they're
that's
in,
great.
Yes,
that's
yes.
Great.
And, John and I, Brad, all of us, mm-hmm. we see these incidents and we can talk about it and how we want the best for our city and we want to do better and we want to roll up our sleeves and do something about it.
Yep.
Well, Carl Davis is one of those guys that's doing something about it every day. I want to see if we can help him. I certainly want to make us aware, if nothing else, of what's going on day-to-day in the fight. Carl Davis is going to help us understand that about 12:30. At 1:25, we will do what we do typically every Wednesday. We'll talk to Coach Norton Herr IV like we love to do. Read a piece from Jason Munns here a couple days ago over the commercial appeal that Penny has sort of refocused his efforts to recruit locally.
Yep.
And something that, yeah, used to be, we talked about it all, that if you were the head coach of Memphis, you had to put the gate around Memphis. That's changed. Cal was a part of that, obviously, in recruiting more nationally. But Penny Hardaway, clearly, and especially of late, you know, you've had more national flavor on those Memphis teams than you've had local. But there are a ton of offers out to local, to Memphis, in most cases, these Memphis-born prospects, a ton of offers out. And maybe it's sort of a new approach, going back to where he was to start. When he got out, remember, he got Alex Lomax and Tyler Harris to start out, and it was really a sort of, hey, we're going to bring Memphis back together, that kind of got Penny, you know, off to start, mm-hmm. you know, off to his coaching start over at Memphis back in 2018 now. It's been, 7 years? And so 125, we'll talk to Coach Norton Herter IV about those kids that Penny has offered, what he thinks. So lots to get to. Before we get to Rob Fisher here in about 10 minutes, how about we do a little bit of cap or no cap? All right, first one is this. Grizz going to be missing two starters when the season starts. Zach Edey and now Jaren Jackson Jr. First, the news. We got it yesterday by email from the Grizzlies. Jaren Jackson's going to undergo procedure for a turf toe injury. They released that update, I guess it was yesterday evening, around that dinner hour. I certainly wasn't expecting any Grizz news at that point, maybe other than, you know, we've joked that maybe Zach Kleiman has gone ahead and gone off on vacation, having gotten a ton of the work, the offseason work done, it feels like, in that first hour and 8 minutes of free agency. Now, could they still use a big? Sure. I mean, that certainly seems to still be a need, but it felt like it was mostly done. And so I wasn't expecting Grizz news last night when we saw it on Jaren Jackson Jr., who apparently the injury occurred in a live basketball game runoff site. And was determined that it's going to need surgery to repair. The Grizzlies did not provide much information, and certainly didn't provide a timeline for Jackson's return to play. Just said that he's expected to make a full recovery. But as I said to Brad there in the open, if you got to have surgery on turf toe, that's never a good thing. It must be serious enough. Hey, it's early enough in the offseason. Let's handle this now. That said, you know, we've seen serious turf toe injuries in the NBA. Darius Garland being one of those. And as they said, an update and preliminary timeline will be provided following the procedure, the team said in the release. Like I said, not much in terms of details. Remember, it was just Monday that we got the 5-year, $240 million renegotiation extension done with Jaren Jackson Jr. They had to have known. You know, this didn't just happen here in the last 24 hours and you determine, oh, it needs surgery, oh, that quickly. They knew about this. Were they going to talk about this ahead of time before they needed to? Likely not. We know how the Grizzlies handle injuries. But now that we've gotten it, just about a month after? It's been about a month, it feels like, since we got similar news about Zach Edey. Again, a different injury, his and ankle, but that they were going to have to do surgery to stabilize it. And now you're looking at potentially, again, no timetable released, and hopefully Jaren's back for the start of the season. Remember, he missed the first couple of games last year with a hamstring injury, was able to get back quickly and play. But like 50 straight, 51 straight. That said, it's not ideal whatsoever, and really it's more than that, because for Isolo, who you want obviously to be able to have everything in terms of a full deck to start off a true tenure now, right? Those 9 games last year in the playoffs weren't a real start to his coaching career, although you get your feet wet and everything else. But now with this roster that may still be lacking a big, but right now it's full. You wanted him to have the full deck to start. You knew he wasn't going to have Edey. If he doesn't have Jaren Jackson Jr. too, I was listening to Harrington on with Jeffrey earlier today, Harrington from over the Daily Memphian, you're probably looking at a starting lineup of Brandon Clark and Santi Aldama to start the year. That's not ideal when Isolo is trying to, remember, get Ja going to start the year. Remember when Ja got going after Isolo came in? It was when they put Edey back in and started going back to pick and roll. You won't be able to do that. To not have perhaps your defensive anchor to start the year, not ideal. And a guy, again, who's probably going to be your first or second leading scorer in Jaren Jackson Jr. And so to not have that for a team in a new-look West that right now they're projecting you to be around 10th in, a play-in sort of team, you could really potentially get off to a slow start not having those two guys. But more importantly, more so than anything about the standings, Isolo just doesn't get to get all of his stuff in early and get Ja feeling comfortable and get Jaren comfortable with Edey next to him right off the bat, and that's unfortunate.
So we just got an update from the Grizzlies. The Memphis Grizzlies today announced that forward center Jaren Jackson underwent a successful procedure to repair that turf toe. So the procedure has been done, By the way, I've never heard a procedure note that said it's unsuccessful, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah. Jackson will be reevaluated in approximately 12 weeks, which is, by the way, 3 months, and is expected to make a full recovery, of course. Further updates will be provided as appropriate. So that's the official update.
What it also does is jive. It doesn't say we expect him back by the start of the season. It just says expects a full recovery, reevaluated in 3 months.
He's not going to be back for the start of the season, number one. Number two, I'm here to proclaim something, and that is that they are, according to the odds makers, more likely to be a lottery team than a playoff contender. And I would say if I had to bet one or the other, they're going to be a lottery team because you're going to miss a month to 2 months of your four and your five men. There you go.
Number one, you may be right. Number one, you're hoping you're that because you got Phoenix's pick. And
yes.
If you look at, if you remember that, that you're hoping to be a lottery team just because of Phoenix's pick. You may be a lottery team twice.
Yes.
To your point.
Right.
No, the odds don't like you right now.
No.
And certainly this news about Jaren Jackson Jr. doesn't help you whatsoever that he might miss the start of the season. I mean, that's how we are characterizing it because I think that's how you should. The Grizzlies aren't saying we expect Jaren Jackson Jr. back by the start of the regular season. Again, it's not. Does it kill your year? No. But for a new coach who's, let's be real, trying to prove himself still in this league, you didn't, you know, in Taylor Jenkins, you had a guy that you knew had finished number two in the West a couple of times, right? In terms of won a playoff
right.
series for you. Isolo, in terms of we know what he sort of expects, we know offensively some of his philosophies, but we have no idea what it looks like whole under him and where it's going to go if he can reestablish Memphis's defensive edge, which was gone by the end of the season. So this is a guy that's still trying to prove himself, and he won't have two very key pieces to start the year. It is not ideal. It is clearly no cap. It feels like that Memphis is going to be without two starters
yep.
to start the year in Zach Edey and Jaren Jackson Jr. All right, moving on, and this kind of jives with where Brad was just at. You know, we had our man Anthony Saint on yesterday, and we talked about the free agent moves, and we'll do it again with Rob Fisher about 11:25 here, 11:30 or so. But and Saint was very optimistic, you know, talking about, you know, somewhere between 1-6 that we felt like the Grizzlies could finish out of that play-in sort of status after the moves. Clearly, you've still got 16 right now on the roster. Someone's got to go. That's likely going to be Cole Anthony, you would think. But still, you're full right now, and point being, hey, if it all goes well, Cedric Howard plays well, Ja Morant stays on the floor, you can be a top six seed. Just real quick, we talked yesterday about the odds in the West, and we used FanDuel, who had the Grizzlies at 10th, the 10th best odds out of 15 to win the West at plus 5,000. Got the Spurs ahead of you, the Mavericks ahead of you, the Warriors as well. Over at DraftKings, keep in mind, FanDuel's got you at plus 5,000, the Grizzlies, to win the West. That's 10th best in the West in terms of odds. DraftKings has got you as even a longer odds favorite. I mean, excuse me, a longer odds
yeah.
team to win the West at plus 11,000. You're still 10th, but they got it at plus 11,000 for the Grizzlies. The teams they've got behind the Grizzlies, Pelicans, Kings, Suns, Trailblazers, Jazz. Sure, that all sounds right, but you are squarely in the mix. And frankly, the way DraftKings, you know, we had talked about it yesterday, at least with FanDuel, with the Grizzlies at plus 5,000, you're still in a group decently close to a group that includes the Spurs plus 2,800, the Mavs at plus 2,100, the Warriors at 1,500, but separated from that bottom, which is Phoenix and New Orleans at plus 13,000, right? You go from plus 5,000 to plus 13,000. There's a divide line there. There's a differentiation
yeah.
there between the type of team they think you are. DraftKings doesn't think there is one. They've got the Grizzlies at plus 11,000, Pelicans at plus 13,000, Kings at plus 14,000. Now, again, maybe they're factoring in Jaren's injury, but they've got you, yes, still in 10th, but further down. This is not a team that right now, after the Desmond Bain trade, looks like it's taken a step forward. In fact, Vegas thinks you've taken a step back, right? Clearly you have, and that win total is likely going to be lower than it was last season. But clearly, we've said what you need to happen. And for Sain to be right, listen, I'd love for him to be a top six seed. They were on their way to that before it all fell apart last year. But for that to happen now, Cedric Howard's got to be good. John Morant's got to stay on the floor 60-plus games, right? There are some non-negotiables with where you are now from a roster standpoint and just factoring in now that you're likely not going to have two starters. So when we say, I mean, the Grizzlies will be a top six seed next season, I mean, right now, that's cap. With this roster.
That's cap.
And while I'll back off and say, well, listen, You know, I can't sit up here and tell you, well, if they'd gone after P.J. Washington and got all these veterans, those odds would be better for Memphis. Not necessarily, because depending upon who you'd gotten, maybe it's a little bit better in terms of the short term and right now. But in terms of the long range view and the Grizzlies getting close to OKC, you are probably not with the lack of flexibility that you had. But I think we're kind of dreaming right now. If we're telling ourselves we feel like we're locked into a top six spot, particularly on the heels of the news about Jaren coming back from the injury, Edie, still a work in progress. We love the first year, but once he gets back, he's going to be, you know, having to catch back up, Isolo having to reincorporate him, and you're learning again, you know, in year two. And so that could mean slower start now with those two maybe out. I shouldn't say likely, but maybe both out to start the year. So I'm going to go cap that they're a top six right now, but certainly hoping that we're wrong. Guys, the West got better, too. I mean, just about everybody else made moves. The Spurs, you might have felt good being behind you last year. I don't think that's the case anymore, necessarily. You'll have to go out and at least prove that this year, that's still the case. So we'll see. But right now, Grizzlies top six seed, I say it's cap. That's no hate. That's just looking at the reality of the roster right now and the appearance of the step back that you've taken as you try to find new ways to win with Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. One more before we get to Rob.
Okay.
I am the man, as we said, that told you Jerry Lawler needed to stop wrestling. Again, it was not to hate. It was to preserve a legend's dignity, right? We didn't need to see him wrestling. Sure, talking about wrestling is one thing. We told you about Lee Corso. Last night, Red Panda, Brad, it was at the Target Center, the WNBA Commissioner's Cup, which I believe the Fever won without Caitlin Clark, by the way. That's a side note, especially this news. But Red Panda went down in her halftime performance. No update was given on her condition. We probably shouldn't make too much fun of this until we know she's okay. I the fact that she got up and tried to walk off the court looked like, for the most part, she must have been, mm-hmm. you know, at least decently okay. She did kneel back down. And medical personnel had to come out and get her. Keep in mind, this is a 7.5, 7-foot unicycle that she works off of with the bowls and everything else. And the cap or no cap is that she needs to hang it up. You mentioned that she's getting up there in age,
yeah.
Although we have no idea how old this woman truly is. Apparently, she was born either in 1970 or 1971. We're not sure, but that would put her, what, 55-ish? 50, you know, 54-ish somewhere
yeah,
in there,
mid 50s,
and you are operating again on a bike. What, that's 7 foot? And did you? Is this the video?
Yep, there she is.
I don't
she's
know.
On it, and she falls. I mean, and then she falls on her tush. It appears she didn't fall leg directly.
She get her body turned.
I'm okay. I'm looking at the video
I
here again.
She fall. Got it with a lot of face there.
And it looks like the wrist is going to be hurt because she tries to brace herself with that left wrist. My guess, and I haven't seen the full report from the WNBA or the NBA, the fall on the unicycle, she catches the wrist. I bet that wrist is going to be damaged and possibly like a tailbone.
At the very least, she's going to have some kind of huge strain in that wrist, ligament strain, or she's lucky if she doesn't have a broken wrist. When you're coming down off that thing, you're either catching yourself with your hands, your wrist, or your face.
She's not going to be available for the start of the NBA regular season for sure.
So I'm looking at this and looking at her age and thinking, when does this stop?
Because I don't think you should be on a unicycle with plates over 55.
Again, I'm not trying to take food off her plate to stay
with this big money for her.
Plates. And she's getting paid, and she has ever since she broke out. Apparently, she was a replacement decades ago for something. She's performed almost in every arena since. And what she charges, I mean, she's making a ton right now off this. And you don't. I'm not trying to take away her.
No, you don't want to take her
livelihood
her money.
Here away from her. That said, where does it stop? Are we going to watch her be in awe when she's 60 and 65? What we know is that these incidents will go up.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to go up. And she was just on Britain's Got Talent this year.
Yeah. Maybe she should get a shorter cycle. You know, like if you cut 7 feet is a long way up there.
She only reached the semis, is what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
My point is, like, we've kind of seen her ceiling.
She's
kind of hit it already.
This might be it for her.
And maybe there's a different way to do this where you don't have to be on a unicycle that's 7-8 feet in the air. Maybe there's a way to still do the halftime performance, still have a livelihood, but do it in a safer way. My point is she needs to come down off the unicycle before she seriously injures herself.
You know, I were Red Panda? I'd find a young, and I'm not even joking. This is not a joke. It's like a lot of rights holders who own the rights to the marketing for themselves. So Red Panda, there's nothing that says you can't have a new Red Panda under the Red Panda name and get a 30-year-old who can ride a unicycle.
And you make money off of it.
And you get paid. No, because you're probably charging $5,000 a hit on these. I'm going to guess four to five or three per halftime show to do a 5-minute trick cycle event. Take half of it, give them two, give yourself two, and be
franchise
done with it.
Franchise the dang thing.
Yeah, franchise it out. Let's make the Red Panda. I mean, I'm not even joking. Like, you see this a lot with people who get older.
That's a great idea.
You know, because it's...
And just go get you some Cirque du Soleil,
folks. Would you know
the
difference? Like, if I said, hey, Red Panda's going to be performing halftime at the Grizzlies game, you'd go, oh, cool, Red Panda. Like, Red Panda to me isn't... It even sounds like something more than a person.
What you're on is the answer.
I think that's it.
You franchise this thing out, and you go get Cirque du Soleil people. You go get young people that can actually take you up and maybe take you even out of NBA arenas, and maybe you're taking over Vegas with this sort of Red Panda act.
Because Red Panda is a brand. When I hear Red Panda, it's a damn brand.
That's why were you a great marketing guy back in school?
I try. I mean,
Oh, my God. This is why he's program director number one in the country right here. Number one in the country, number one in your heart.
Come
hearts.
On now.
That is the way to do it.
It's the Red Panda franchise.
Panda act. And you're not just in NBA arenas anymore. You're taking over the world.
Yes.
You're literally like a traveling act. And you can use younger people that are doing more impressive things, probably, in their 20s and 30s from Cirque du Soleil.
You said
can
Cirque
hire
du Soleil,
them.
That's a brand. It's not a person. But Red Panda sounds just like
Cirque
du Soleil.
Maybe somebody in the back of Cirque du Soleil, their talent isn't getting out because all the folks in front of them are shining. And you recruit them over to the Red Panda act, and they're shining for you.
I think we found the solution here.
And she's going to make all the money off of it because it's off
royalties.
Of Red Panda act.
Royalties.
Damn.
And you have trademark on that. You've done it long enough that you've proven that you own.
You don't
that
need to break
brand.
Any more wrists or fingers or anything. You are cemented as one of the goats. Get off the unicycle.
Honey, get down from
Let
that
the
cycle.
Let the kids get up there and do it, and you make all the money.
That's it. That's
I had
it.
Not thought about that coming in, but that's why you're a damn marketing genius.
Well, I wish I were Red Panda. She's got an opportunity here to make some money.
We can clip this up for her and send it to her up in the hospital just to have her so she can think about it as an option.
She's recovering.
This is actually sounds like a moneymaker.
I think
No jokes here.
No, I'm not kidding.
Red Panda act perhaps coming to an arena. FedEx Forum near you that can just take over the whole thing.
Sure.
We're going to talk to Rob Fisher. He's very close with Red Panda. He probably doesn't think any of this is funny at all. He's probably maybe already checked on her to make sure she's okay. We're going to ask Rob about Red Panda, but also about the Grizzlies, their free agent moves, what he thinks about where they stand in the West now, the Jaren Jackson Jr. news, a lot more to do. You're listening to Jason John, 929 FM ESPN. Rob Fisher, we call him Fish Nation. FanDuel Sports Network, Grizzlies pre- and post-game show host and sideline reporter. Of course, the host as well, the odds couple of Grind City Media. You can follow him on X at The Fish Nation. He's on IG at The Fish Nation _. And he joins us now, perhaps a close personal friend of Red Panda. We'll find out. Brad tells me that you know her. Do you?
I've had the chance to meet her. I've had the chance to have a conversation with her backstage and have a picture with her. I wouldn't know if I'd say I know her, but when I see her, I do acknowledge her and she acknowledges back. So maybe there's a familiarity, but I'm a big fan, like a lot of people are. Hated to see that last night, but she got injured, but man, she's you don't see the Red Panda mess up very often.
No, and, I know. She's phenomenal.
So
it's rare.
Yeah. So to see that was it was sad. Hopefully she's all right.
And Brad said it. We don't know when she was born for sure. It's 1970, 1971. But if she's in her mid-50s doing this, as it appears, I mean it is pretty unbelievable. I'm 48, 49. Couldn't get up there. I mean, what she's able to do. I do worry though, Rob. In all seriousness. That age, that thing's only going up. I mean, and how much more does she have, and whether it might be a better idea to franchise this thing, man. Go out and she makes all the money off of it, and you get younger performers. Just as, you know, if nothing else, just for safety from her wrists and hands, which I'm sure when she falls on that 8-foot unicycle, are taking a beating. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe there is something in the future, future panda that could come out. But yeah, I mean, hell, we got the one guy, Slidek or whatever, the guy who climbs the chairs. He looks like he's 75.
Well, that's true. That's true. And he hadn't franchised it out to anybody. He's keeping that thing all his own, baby. You know what I'm saying? So
And every time he puts another chair and climbs to the top of that thing, I'm terrified for the guy.
I know. Yeah. I know. Because you just think, man, you know, this is going to hurt you more the older you get. And so I think that's what I'm coming to a realization more. It's really just out of protection for folks that I look to and respect. And that's the same thing for Red Panda. So whether it's franchising this thing, we just want her to be safe, and we all hope that she's okay. All right. What are you thinking about the Memphis Grizzlies and where they're standing now in the West? I realize nothing's done. You know, free agency is still going on. Teams are still trying to figure out what they do. But there has been some dust that certainly settled after that first day. How do you feel about the Grizzlies and where they stand after the moves they made? Much of it in-house, but also going to get our man Ty Jerome. Where are you at on them?
I like what they've done so far. I thought you got a big haul for the Desmond Bane trade and kind of shake things up a little bit. I love the Ty Jerome signing. I think that's a really good signing. I like the rookies. I mean, as much as you can like the rookies without really not seeing them on the floor yet, I like what they did there. You know, the one thing I think you still have to address center.
No question.
It's got to be addressed. I mean, if he's going to be out, and, you know, I like to err on the side of caution when it comes to the Grizzlies and injuries. So, you know, let's say he's out 2 months. I mean, that's too long of a time to not have someone in that position. So I assume that'll still be addressed. And when that's addressed, you know, I'll feel a lot better about the team going forward. But I like it so far. I think it's been active, and I think they've made some moves that needed to be made. And you know, it's funny because you hear people over the last couple of days saying, "Are the Grizzlies better than they were a year ago?" I don't know. I mean, you lost a heck of a player in Desmond Bane, but you've replaced with some other guys that can fit in some needs. And you know, it's not just about individual players. It's about team play. And this team, more than anything, needed better depth. I think we learned last year that early in the season, as the year went on, we learned that the schedule was pretty easy to start the season last year. And that's why the depth looked really good. But as the year went on and after the All-Star break, the depth wasn't good. And your bench wasn't productive enough. So I think to make the moves that they've made so far certainly improved that. And, you know, so I think they're right there in the mix where they've been and where they were last year. I think they're in the mix with just about everybody. I like what Denver's done. They've made some moves. I love what Houston's done. Yep. So those are a couple of teams that might frighten you a little bit. But I think the Grizzlies are right there in the mix.
It just seems to be a foregone conclusion that Cole Anthony will be gone, and it's been reported as much. But a guy that we've sort of not talked a ton about in that Desmond Bane trade, and we've talked a ton about the pick they used in Cedric Howard, but KCP, I'm just curious, Fish, what do they need from him, and what's your confidence level that they'll get it? I mean, he is a former champion. He brings that pedigree to the table. It feels like with Bane going out, and you could speak to this better than me, you need an accountability guy. Right? I mean, you want more of that, obviously, from Ja and from Jaren Jackson Jr., but Bane was one of those guys, and it feels like KCP needs to be that. Just what are your hopes and thoughts on KCP and the addition he can be?
I think the biggest thing is what you mentioned, two-time champion, and, you know, brings to the floor, you know, an idea of what's needed to win and can bring, you know, accountability to others as well. I like the pick. I think, you know, I like the deal. I think he's going to be a guy that he can come in, he can fit right in. He can help you offensively. He can help you a lot defensively, which is where this team really needed, help last year. So, I think that helps. And just that championship pedigree that he's got. I think that's huge. You know, We keep saying we need veterans, and we need veterans who have been there before. Well, here's a guy who's been there before.
That's right.
So I think that's huge in what he brings to the team, and something that this team hadn't had. Now, we can talk about all this stuff. We can talk about what KCP needs to bring. We can talk about Jaron's injury and when he's going to be back and how they need a center and all of these things. But what it comes down to,
oh yeah, I know where you're going,
is one thing. Mm-hmm. John Morant's got to play 65 games.
Yes, sir.
Brad
and I discussed it almost exactly as you just phrased it yesterday. And you can put all this stuff to the side if that doesn't happen right there.
Grizzlies' success is based on John Morant being on the floor. Period.
Yep.
Period.
So,
and
what are you
and
telling
if he doesn't,
him?
If he doesn't play 65, then you can say this team is going to be, you know, fighting for a spot and fighting for a playoff spot and fighting to advance in the playoffs and if he doesn't play enough games. But if Ja's on the floor, then the Grizzlies will be fine.
Yeah, Brad and I were discussing how you get that. I mean, here's the thing. It doesn't matter. Until Ja Morant gets that and understands that, it doesn't matter who tells him that, whether it's a former player, a Hall of Famer, whether it's Zach Kleiman or whatever else. But don't you have to, as opposed to, man, let's hope he understands it. Let's hope he gets it this season. You know, he said he wasn't going to dunk last year, but then, boy, did that. Yeah, not to, again, use that quote or that comment, but it did change. And Ja, you know, showed, hey, I'll still go up and dunk, and that ended up coming back to bite you. I'm just saying, as an organization, Rob, you can't just ignore it. So you can't just sit there and say, well, we hope he gets it, how important this is to stay on the floor and maybe use more of that mid-range game to try to help stay out there. Do you talk to him man-to-man, one meeting, and say, Ja, this is just as important to you and your career as it is to us? Do you not address it at all? How do you handle it differently than you have? What are you doing as an organization there to make sure he understands it and gets it?
Well, I don't know. And the reason I don't know is because, you know, injuries are so different in the NBA today, where I don't know how many times Ja Morant sat out last year because Ja Morant felt like he needed to sit out, or it was the team feeling like Ja Morant needed to sit out.
Mm.
So I don't know. I don't know how much of it is him. I don't know how much of it is the team. Because, you know, you have this medical team and this science team and,
yep.
And you know, they make the decisions on whether or not Josh should play or shouldn't play. That needs to change, because it changed last year after Taylor Jenkins left, after he was fired.
Yep.
It changed. He played every game.
I sure do.
And seemed to be fine. So was it a Josh thing? Was it a team thing? Whatever the case is, he needs to be on the floor. You know what I'd like to go back to, Jason, is remember the days of being in the dark, working out in the dark, being the ninja.
Felt like he's having fun. Yeah.
What happened to those days?
Fun Ja.
Yeah. And that's the Ja that I want back. I want the guy that's working in the dark and is ready to come on and take on the world.
This Ja feels like the world's out to get him, Rob. Am I off on that, or that it's out against him? This Ja is...
No, absolutely. Yeah. That's how it felt. And I think that's on him, and he needs to change it. Ja just needs to worry about himself. Period.
Yep. What'd you think about what Stephen A. said, and particularly the way he did it, using players or saying this? Obviously, we know Memphis has its issues, but how did that jive with you when players are saying this about Memphis, when we know and you've been around long enough to know how Tony and Zach were treated, how you've watched them all, and how they've been treated in this city. Some of them have decided to live here. What did you think when you heard those comments? I hadn't gotten a chance to hear you.
I let me say this first. I like Stephen A. a lot, respect him a lot, and respect his entire career and where he's come from and what he's built into today. Yeah. But I thought he was irresponsible, and I just thought it was unfair. I thought it was an unfair criticism of Memphis. I think when you look at, first of all, I've been here 19 years with the team. Never have had a player leave because of crime. Never. Not one time. In fact, the Grizzlies have never lost a player that they've wanted to keep, ever. I didn't think it was very responsible what he said, and I think it was just a cheap shot at Memphis, and it was unfortunate because, I mean, no player is not going to a city because of crime. The St. Louis Cardinals haven't won as many world championships as they've had with the crime that they have. That wouldn't be possible. Baltimore with the crime that they have. Chicago with the crime that they... I mean, there's crime everywhere, man. There's crime everywhere in every city, and some cities are worse than others. And is there... I'm not dismissing the fact that there's a crime problem in Memphis. There is. But it's not a reason why players aren't coming to Memphis, and that's just ridiculous.
Yep.
And I just thought it was an irresponsible take from Stephen A., and it was unfortunate. And the most unfortunate thing about it was, you know, we knew that everybody in Memphis was going to stand up for Memphis and was going to fight back on Stephen A. on this.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that's a message that got out to the country. And we don't have people fighting back around the country on what he said. And to me, that was the most disappointing thing.
I'm with you. I'm willing to extend grace if this accepting of the invitation to come here is also an acceptance of, hey, educate me, right? Show me what you're, hey, we know you got issues. You say you're working on it. Because I do think, and Rob, you tell me what you think. We put the Stephen A. thing to bed. There is a value in educating him in terms of what you just said. There's not been a player that's left here because of crime. There hadn't been a player that hadn't come here because of crime, just in terms of its history. Educating right. him so that when he's in that conversation with Jimmy Butler and Jimmy's saying something still, man, I ain't going to Memphis because they're down there doing this, that Stephen A. could tell him those types of players. No, man. In fact, they take care of their players down there. Just in terms of that, you know, if nothing else, that, whatever he's saying nationally. Again, I'm not looking to win him over. But in those conversations, he can then correct, right, a Jimmy yeah. Butler or somebody else. Just feels like there might be a value if he's really willing to accept that. Although, you know, when, you know, I don't know Stephen A. personally. That might not even be what he's looking. We know he loves ratings. Might love that more than the yeah. education or trying to be corrected.
Well, I think that's a big part of it, too. And, you know, I mean, I think it's important to note that, you know, two of your best players in franchise history have made this their home.
Amen.
Where right. it wasn't their home,
that's right.
you know, and it's become part of the franchise. So, yeah, I just think it was irresponsible and you know, and uneducated comment from Stephen A. And really unfortunate. So hopefully if he comes here, maybe he'll say something nice about it.
Talking to the great Rob Fisher, of course, great sideline reporter, postgame and pregame and postgame show host over at FanDuel Sports Network on the Grizzlies. Turning to the rest of the NBA, you had mentioned it. We like what Denver's done, like what Houston's done. Just in terms of those teams behind OKC, which one you like the most? Denver, obviously, they added to it. They've added shooting. They've added a backup center. Houston's gone out and not just added KD, but you go out and get, a shrewd pickup in Dorian Finney-Smith. Get Dylan Brooks out of there. Just where you at in those two teams? And is anybody else up there with them behind OKC in your eyes?
Well, I think I like what Denver did more because I don't think they completely – they didn't reconstruct anything. They added pieces that fit and make them better. Houston kind of reconstructed the whole deal. So you're going to have to find out how it's going to work out, number one. And number two, you know, like we were talking with Ja, how many games does Kevin Durant play?
Mm-hmm.
And because you've now made Kevin Durant a huge part of your team and a huge part of your offense. So what is his schedule like this year and how many games did he play? So I think Houston, while I think Houston made significant improvements, I'll wait on Houston to see how it works out. Denver, I think it works out really well. Those are the two teams I think that improved the most. Everybody else in that pack kind of, you know, they've made some moves around the edges, but nothing significant that I think puts them up in that pack right now. So I think you have a couple of teams that have improved themselves in Houston and in Denver, and maybe they separate themselves a little bit, but I don't think they separate themselves to where it's they run away and it's, you got three tiers now. I still think there's Oklahoma City and then there's a second tier right after that, and everybody's kind of bunched together. So I don't think they're running away and hide. I just think they improve their standing maybe going into next season.
How about on the other? Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, and I was going to say, and as far as everybody else, Minnesota hasn't done much. The Clippers haven't done much. Who else is in that group?
Lakers still need a center. Warriors are kind of the same, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. I don't, you know, everybody wants to talk about the stacked West and how stacked it is. I think everybody's trying to improve, and I think everybody has a little bit, at least this offseason.
And on the other side, just for Orlando now, with Desmond Bane, I was looking over, I think it was DraftKings that's got them third best odds in the East. You know, a major move up for them, or potentially with adding Desmond Bane. Just what do you think for them and that side of the deal?
I find it very interesting because it seems like I was stunned when I saw the Eastern Conference odds with you have New York first and Cleveland in second and then Orlando third. I guess it's wide open in the East, so why not? You know, Indiana taking a big fall. What'll happen to Milwaukee? Although I like the addition of Miles Turner. You know, maybe Milwaukee going for it. They made a couple of moves yesterday around that as well. Yep. So maybe Milwaukee should get a little more love as far as being one of the contenders in the East. I like Orlando a lot. I like Orlando starting five a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they have much after that. But again, in the East this year, that might be good enough. So I think they got a shot to be a really good Eastern Conference team. The Knicks and the Cavs should be there. I think the Cavs should probably run away with the East next year after what they did this season. Going into next year, why wouldn't they? So I really like where the position that they're in going into next season. The Knicks should be good. They still need a head coach. And, you know, so we'll see there. But Orlando, I guess they're going to be right there. I would include Milwaukee right there, though, because of the moves that they made. And I don't know how much the odds have changed since yesterday, but I would imagine Milwaukee's probably climbed up a little bit.
That is such an attractive job. The Knicks, I actually like, wasn't it Clarkson that we saw was going to go add some bench scoring to a guy that's been like 15, 16 a game, so there's some depth. I would feel a lot better about it, I think, if Tibbs was still the coach, because I look at it and I say, well, what's the plan? Are you getting a coach that was better than Tibbs? As much as we used to ride him for riding his guys into the ground, I think at this point, we thought, okay, well, they must be upgrading. Maybe a Malone that's won a championship. Doesn't look like that's what it's going to be. I just can't understand what that – is that Dolan, Rob? What's your theory on what happened there? Leon Rose and those folks had made smart moves since sort of taking over. That didn't seem smart or planned out.
No, and that's the thing. When you fire a coach, you need to have a plan. You know, you gotta. I would imagine executives in the NBA and in all sports, for that matter, have a list in their back pocket of who their next head coach is going to be. Always, you always have to have that plan of who the next guy is going to be. And it feels like the Knicks just had no clue, or they felt like they could go out and get whoever they want. Something that the Knicks have done for years, whether it's free agency or a head coach. They feel like they can just go get whoever they want. And the case has been proven that that is not a fact for the New York Knicks. So I don't know what they're going to do, but are they going to find a better coach than Tibbs? Well, it doesn't feel like it. You know, Mike Brown getting a second interview. I don't know how much that excites you. Taylor Jenkins still in the running, I guess. You know, okay, Taylor's a good coach, but is he better than Tom Thibodeau? And can he take that team? Is he the voice to take that team to the next level? That seems a little odd. You know, Dawn Staley's name came up. I mean, what the hell's going on over there?
I know. I respect the mess out of Dawn Staley, but when she comes up this late in it, it just looks unplanned, like you're looking to put names and see what's, you know, out there, see what sticks. It just, you know, if I'm a player, I'm like, well, if I'm a player in that organization, I'm like, what are we doing here, guys? So we'll figure it out at some point, I guess. And I guess in a weird way, I might be rooting for Taylor Jenkins at this point. I don't, Rob, we've always speculated as us radio guys that didn't know him but have heard, we would hear the, you can speak to this probably, we would hear the Taylor Jenkins in the press conferences and could barely understand the language the coach speak by the end of it that he was speaking. It was almost like he wasn't even human anymore. But everybody tells me about this guy that, man, you get him in the donut shop when he's talking basketball with you and talking in, you know, layman's language, in layman's terms. He's great and you love him and you never get to see this side of him. Were there two sides to him like that? I don't know if you – can you speak to that? Maybe there's two sides to everybody in a way.
Yeah, I guess there are. I think he certainly was more conservative when talking to the media. And yeah, he was very coach speak when talking.
Oh my gosh. I mean, you were rolling your eyes by the end of it. By the end of his tenure, I just have to say. I mean, you had to listen and ask more questions. We were like, oh my gosh. This guy's not even answering Rob's question.
No, he's different off the floor than he is on the floor. Okay. Or different off the floor than he is in press conference settings. But yeah, I mean that's the one thing that I think of because he's so coach speak in press conferences. How would that fly in New York?
Right. Ugh. Oh, they'd tear it up. The front, they said, "What did you say?" I mean, they'd go back at him. Let's be real, wouldn't they? It's still that kind of media up there in New York.
What are you talking about? This game first mentality.
No, they would. They would, and he'd probably get frustrated knowing him, and it'd blow up very early. And I can't see him handling that media with that kind of talk.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I hope Taylor lands on his feet and gets a job, whether it's the Knicks or somewhere else. But I don't know if the Knicks is the right spot for him.
It's been an awfully tough market. Rob, you are the absolute best, man. Appreciate you joining us, brother.
Jason, anytime, man. Thank you.
Absolute pleasure. He is Rob Fisher. Make sure you're following him on X at the Fish Nation and on IG at the Fish Nation _. Does great work, obviously. We always love his insight. He's so close to it. And like I said, what are we talking about? 2 decades now. He's covered the team. And so that institutional knowledge always helpful when I'm talking Grizzlies. So I appreciate Rob joining us. We got much more to do. Rundown coming up. We'll talk about the most recent, recently announced game on the Tigers non-conference schedule. I think it's there were 4 openings. This leaves you with 3. Still got to be more, and it needs to be sexier, I think. We'll talk about Jaren Jackson Jr. again. Randy Moss coming back to ESPN. And I got to tell you how some NBA players' kids around here are ruining our kids' dreams. Yeah, that's a take, isn't it? That's the downside of being an NBA city. The players' kids. Yeah, you're listening to Jason John, 92.9 FM ESPN.